Hey, welcome to the Mead House. Jeff here.
Chris here.
Oh, hey, summer's coming.
The summer's coming?
Yeah, we're in the preheat section now, man.
My oven's on high. I don't like this.
Yeah, we have international soccer tournaments in the Midwest now.
Yeah.
And we've got England in town, and they're just suffering.
I believe it.
Yeah, they've actually put saunas and humidity control booths in their rooms to try to help acclimate, and it's way too late. It's way too late for that, man.
Matt, we're about a month out from my kiddo's summer camp.
Oh,
I see. It's going to be early to mid-June. I think it's like the 6th to the 16th or something like that.
It's just before summer.
July.
Official summer is 21st.
Not June, July.
Oh, July, okay.
So yeah, like the weekend after 4th of July weekend, we're going out there, and we're going to be out there for a week and a half. And there is no air conditioning. There is no... The best you've got is to... I swear, I just opened all the flaps on my tent, and I bunk up on my little cot and just let the breeze, whatever I can get, blow over me. I've got a little hand fan this year that should make things a little more tolerable.
I've got a little battery-powered fan if you want to take it with you.
I've been investing this year.
Okay, go. Cool. Yes. I'm here for you, man. It's hot. Oh, man. First off, guys, thank you for joining us here.
Absolutely.
Love it. Seen each other. We had a few new listeners this last week. I've been notified on my computer.
That's really nice. Little ping here or there. That's always fun.
Yeah. Welcome, each and every one of you. Glad to have you around. Hope you get something out of this. Now, I'm going to ask you guys specifically out there, if you need us to go over anything we've gone over again, let us know.
Right. Or if something we missed in one of those previous topics and it needs to be like... you know, rehashed or brought back or
reorganized in some fashion.
Yeah.
Let us know.
Yeah, we can absolutely do that.
And the reason I say this is because I got, have you talked about this, this, and this? I said, yes, we've talked about these things. Okay, are you going to talk about them again? I said, okay, do you not like looking at previous episodes? And I don't mind telling you, but, if you want us to go over something again, let us know.
Mm-hmm. We're good at that. I mean, honestly, sometimes things change. Like, I can't think of like the biggest thing that I can think of in my whole process that has changed is that like Omega has a couple more flavors or a couple more varieties of Kvike now, in addition to the couple they started with.
Really?
Not recent, but since I first covered Kvike.
Okay.
Gotcha. Years and years ago on the show.
Okay.
They've put more out. That's a cool thing to talk about.
That's a cool thing to talk about.
Their Lutra. They didn't have the Lutra when they first started the Kvike line. It was all...
What's it give off after that one?
That's... Lutra's the unique one that it is clean. Ooh. Even at high temp.
Yeah, I'm going to try my Earl Grey Mead with that one then.
Mm-hmm.
See if I can get that up going faster.
And I think that's available in... I think they have Lutra in both the dry form and the packet.
Okay,
The liquid form.
Excellent.
It's kind of a game changer because, like, I know you're not a beer guy, but there are different kinds of yeast beyond just, wine yeast, beer yeast. In the beer world, there is ale yeast, which is the same Saccharomyces cerevisiae that we use for wine and everything else. But then there's, I want to say it's lager yeast is Saccharomyces pastoris or something like that.
Okay.
It's a slightly different species, but it is... very complicated for the home brewer because generally in the lagering process, you grew at a lower temperature.
Mm-hmm.
And the release of this Lutra from Kvike, or this Lutra Kvike variety, has people freaking out because they're doing clean, easy ferment lagers at room temperature when they've required refrigerators and crap like this before.
That's awesome.
Like,
that's great.
Mm-hmm. People are the fake lager thing took off for a long while when that first came out. So
nice.
And I can hardly blame them.
Right? And although I'm not a beer person, everybody knows, I'll support it.
Yeah.
When you get something cool like that, yeah, I'll absolutely let people know. That's great. I had some people ask me recently, that beer without hops, what do you call it? I said, it's a braggot. And they go, okay, can we make that? Yeah, you can.
Yeah.
But, you can make that. Don't talk to me about that. That's not my bellywick.
Well, speaking of, is it beer without hops or beer mead hybrid? Those are, Braggot is the beer mead hybrid.
Beer without
hops is the gruet.
The gruet, yes.
But speaking of the gruet, I haven't gotten to brew it yet, but I went and picked up 6 pounds of Maris Otter grain from our friends at Box and Barleycorn yesterday,
Yeah.
which, by the way, we need to thank
Everything
Box
about
and
Box and Barleycorn.
Barleycorn.
So, Box and Barleycorn is our sponsor again this year. We greatly appreciate it. And I was going to try to circle back this one if we got off this a little bit, but we can keep going. So, we're going to do that now. Box and Barleycorn, they have all your brewing, fermenting, cheese making, yogurt making.
If it's a home fermentation,
They got it.
yeah, they
And best of all, Jake and the gang there, they love helping people out. They're really generous about that. They have all your supplies, they have all your equipment. You're ready to go, man. It's really cool and they're really nice about it. If you have a problem, they're there for you. If you need something special, they can probably get it for you. Even better, they have their discount code, MHP10.
You got
I'm gonna get that so I don't miss it anymore. And
it.
you can get yourself 10% off your online orders. And if you want, if you're in the area, see if you can use it in the store. Who knows? Maybe they'll honor it. Either way, you got a great deal and they always stay competitive anyway, because I
Right.
know that people who do this aren't the people in the 1%. So but they're trying to make this a thing, and we're really happy to have them on beyond. Well, I wouldn't say on have them on our side, but actually we're on their side,
Right. Yeah.
more
Yeah.
accurately.
Yeah. We're all kind of on the same. Rising tide raises all
Yeah,
boats.
rising tide raises all boats. So, that's what, and we're just really glad to have. So, look them up, Box and Barleycorn. They got what you need. I promise
Absolutely. So, Chris,
you. Yeah.
I would like to think that I am something of a connoisseur when it comes to meat. I've been doing this whole tasting commercials and very well-made home varieties for quite a while
But
now.
quite a while. We've done this, yeah, a long time.
I want to say this show's been going around 10 years now.
I'm going to take a step further, Jeff. I'm going to say we're kind of a snob about it.
That's in certain cases, yeah,
Yeah.
that could be fair.
I mean, when we have a homebrew that we're saying, okay, it's not what I like, but I can see how the appeal is. We're not going to poo-poo that because they put the effort and they made a solid meat.
Right.
But we want meat that is good. Or at least has the potential for somebody enjoying it being good.
We're looking for a level of quality that is
Well,
high.
he's high, yeah. That's
And
honest.
in the snobbery of my mead experience, it's been a minute since I've had some of the kinds of mead you can easily acquire at any liquor store in the country, generally speaking. If you can acquire mead at a liquor store, not all of them you can. This is a problem too.
Yeah.
But
But we've actually gone, we have a, Jeff and I have actually gone to mead, or liquor stores, mead places, and asked, where's your mead? And they got like 2 bottles, if that.
right.
It's happened.
Yes, and that absolutely happens. Sometimes there are a few liquor stores in the KC area that have good local brands,
Yeah.
as to the extent that there are local brands. There was a local, I don't know if you got to try Black Labs.
I did. That was really good. I'm really glad they closed. I'm really sorry they closed down. They were phenomenally good mead.
They were fruit bomb makers, and
Yeah.
that's right up your alley. So,
Yeah, I was actually given it for a Christmas present from my son-in-law, and I had to order more, and then I went back to order more later, and they were gone. I was so sad.
yeah,
Yeah,
they ran a good operation.
they really did, and I was really glad to be a part of that for a while.
So, but any liquor store in the country that has mead, chances are you can find what's in my hand right now.
If I didn't know it was in his hand, I could have guessed it. It's Chaucer's.
Chaucer's,
Yeah, it's
yeah.
Chaucer's.
And Chaucer's is like our local Renaissance Fair had Chaucer's for a while, until they got a more local brand.
We'll talk about that in a minute, but Chaucer's mead is probably the most available mead, nationally speaking.
Yes. And it's been a solid decade or more since I've actually had this. But, starting in Ren Faires and stuff like that, yeah, you go to parties, you have
Chaucer's.
Chaucer's.
Yeah. Now we're not doing a mead of the day this time. We're doing meads, commercial meads
We're
that we have a chance have access to right now.
right. We're testing the most available commercial meads. And I would like to, I'm not going to do a score sheet, but I'm going to approach this from a judging
And
perspective
that's cool. I'm
and
going to judge it
say,
from a snob perspective,
yeah.
because which I like better, and this is just my personal opinion. So
So in my glass, I've got, it's a light straw color.
yeah, it's
It's
very pale. And all commercial meads, almost without exception, are absolutely clear. So I'm not going to
I'm
talk about
sure
clears.
they put this through. Well, there is a little bit of detritus at the bottom of the bottle, but it's pretty faint. It wouldn't surprise me if they do filtration on this. On the nose,
I got honey and just a very light hint of honey.
the honey is light, but it's there. I might be getting a little fermentation, like an estery thing.
Hang on. I get it. If I make my nose the only thing in the cup with my hands.
Yeah, let's do the, let me do a little
Swirl
cover
test
and
here.
swirl. Oh yeah,
Yeah, it's there.
it's not pleasant when I do that
No,
either.
it's not.
It has a little off,
It, and the and the esters we're talking about, they're a little bit like
these are volatile aromatics that we're siphoning up into the glass when we're doing the swirl test.
but they're reminiscent of, if you're just smelling, they're reminiscent of like nail polish remover.
Yeah, it's a kind of a chemically solventy smell to it. But
Okay.
let's give it a taste. Let's see what we think.
Is exactly like I remember. I haven't had it in over a decade, and this is exactly what I remember from it. It's mead. I
It
mean,
drinks like a light white wine with a flavor of honey to it.
yeah.
And I know another one that we didn't get for this this thing that, but you can occasionally get sometimes. I've been told, I'm not going to talk smack about them here, but I've been told that there is another one of these brands that is literally just white wine they add honey to.
Actually, I did see that at Total Wine when I stopped by.
Oh yeah.
They have it. It says white wine with honey on it. I didn't want white wine with honey. I wanted mead, so I didn't get it.
Right. Exactly.
So that,
But at least they're being honest about the content. They're not
on the
hiding
label it says white wine with honey.
But yeah, this is
This is the base mead. Would I drink this if it was offered? Yes.
If this is at a party and they're pouring Chaucers, I'm not going to turn it down.
But by the same token, if I get Chaucer's, if I buy it for myself, I'm getting it for to mull.
Right. Or to make it a cocktail or
Or make it like
something.
a cocktail or something like that,
It's
because
not something you're serving in and of itself.
yeah, I mean, Chaucer's is a solid mead. I'm not gonna say boo about any of these. They are solid meads, and they're consistently solid meads.
Moreover, if you serve this to someone that has never drank mead and wants to know what mead is like, are they going to walk away from this going, ew, mead is gross?
Yeah, no, they will not.
No,
They
this
will not.
is.
This is a good. We've had commercial meads came across our palate at various things I've been to. Why did you bottle this? But this is not it. This is good.
Yeah, no, this. I think it's just good.
But it's just, yeah, you're right. It's just good. Chaucer's mead is the national standard of base traditional mead.
I mean,
There's nothing extraordinary about it. There's nothing bad about it. It just is.
if you were going to give this a score out of 10,
Four?
I was going to be generous and say 6.5.
Okay, well, I'm saying four and a half, because I expect, okay, this is not really sweet. This is not really honey. This is a honey, kind of honey fragrance to kind of a honey taste, semi-sweet meat.
Well, it is honey flavored, but it's the honey bear from the supermarket, honey
Yeah.
flavored,
Bingo. Okay.
almost just generic honey.
I give it as high as a five to be right in the middle. I wouldn't give it a six, because this is what I would start with to do something fun. Would I use it? Sure. But would I get it just to eat, drink as is? No, I wouldn't.
That's fair. That's entirely fair. So,
That's Chaucer. Now Chaucer's, they have the man a man on horseback riding with his lady fair behind him on the label. Chaucer's been around for a long time, but one thing you can say about them absolutely is, I said it earlier when we first tasted it, this is the same thing I tasted years and years and years ago at fair or anywhere else I got it. It has not, the flavor has been consistent.
Consistency is so important in a commercial drink,
Yeah,
and
and
this is
they got it.
right.
So,
You got to give them props for at least having a consistent product that you can, like I said, it's been 10 years since I've had a Chaucer's. It still tastes like Chaucer's.
and there's nothing wrong with that.
There's no surprises when you open
But
this.
if you want to gently introduce somebody, like Jeff mentioned earlier, if you gently want to introduce somebody into the mead world, Chaucer's is, there are worse choices than Chaucer's.
Absolutely. This is a fine start. And, I'm not saying you're wrong, saying four and a half.
There's nothing, there's absolutely nothing outstanding about this mead. It's all just there. That's why I gave it four and a half.
I think I have the same point, but my scale says if I go lower than five, there's something wrong with it. So I think it's not that we disagree on the quality. I think it's that we disagree on how we scale.
That's fair. And so, yeah, I'll agree with that because.
And I think as we get into more of these bottles, we should do a placing. Like,
Okay.
hey, is this better than this? Do we like this better than that? And I think the next one, the one that I find all the time, and sometimes I find this in places that don't have Chaucer's, this is Oliver Winery's Camelot Mead. And now this is an orange blossom, and Chaucer's does not
It doesn't
declare
specify
a varietal.
varietal, many varieties. So we should have a different flavor here just on the base honey base.
Oh, Chris,
Yes.
on the back here it says, on a scale of dry to sweet, this is just right.
Oh, okay. So that's okay. That's a bold to say. It's just right. Now the scale he pointed out to me, it says it has a B on a sliding scale type thing, which is very cute. It's very cute, but it's also 2/3 to 3/4 of the way up the scale, maybe or a little more. And
And
that's just right.
not very informative. Cute marketing, not very
Yeah,
informative.
it's it okay.
I'm assuming this is semi-sweet.
Yeah, I'm that
But yeah, again,
this is even paler than Chaucer's.
this is a white. This is honey white. There is no color to this
There's almost
whatsoever.
no yellowness at all.
It does have a more citrusy smell to the honey.
It doesn't have the ester though, the
No,
off ester.
it is a little cleaner in the scent.
I don't smell honey though. I smell the orange. I don't smell honey. I still don't smell. I mean, I'm
It
trying.
smells like a citrus blossom honey to me.
Yeah.
It is very citrusy on the nose, and maybe based on the smell, this might not be as sweet as I'm jokingly giving them
Well, they
grief
did put it
over.
at the 80-90% mark on their scale there. It's just right. They put it like 8.5 to 9 on their scale.
They've got 6 out of 8
Okay,
ticks,
six out
so.
of, so they're in the upper range there.
So, by rights, semi-sweet.
It is a semi-sweet.
It is a semi-sweet.
It is definitely, and this one is,
This is very light.
this is very light. It's very smooth. It's shockingly smooth to me.
What's the ABV on this guy? This is 10%.
Okay.
So it's not as. What's the ABV on Chaucer's? That was
Did they even say?
10.5.
Okay, so it's just slightly lighter than Chaucer's. I will tell you
But it's
the.
not in terms of mouthfeel. This
No.
is very light.
This is incredible. I mean, the difference in that 0.5% that we just said there, this is a very light, very, very summer light mead. As opposed to Chaucer's is a medium mead.
But like if we're gonna make some grill some chicken or do some something light on the grill,
Yeah, this isn't bad. I mean,
this is
I'll
right up
be
there.
honest, I've never until now I've never had Oliver's mead because I make my mead. I don't generally get commercial mead. I had no opinion about it, but this isn't bad. But I mean, this is a okay. Them boasting this is just right, that's a matter of opinion, but I will tell you that it is nicely between sweet and dry to be pleasant. I will
It
say that.
is a little on the dry side, and I don't know if that is necessarily the actual sweetness level or just this is more acidic because it is an orange blossom honey. And it has a more like sharp tart perception to it than it otherwise would. I
But
could see you wanting this a little sweeter.
yeah, I do. I like my sweet. But I will say, because of the drinkability, I mean, this is in every which way when I drink this in every way possible, it's lighter. Lighter on the tongue, lighter in the palate, lighter when I swallow.
It doesn't linger on the tongue
It
like the
doesn't linger.
Chaucer's.
This
Not that
is,
Chaucer's lingers much,
no, it's very, they're both very mild and very nice. This one is much more subtle.
it has an almost ephemeral quality to
Yeah,
it,
it really
if I'm going to
does.
use my $10 words today.
Ooh, fancy.
I'm actually going to have a little bit more because I'm enjoying this quite a bit,
Yeah. Now, just
which is
because we're,
dangerous, but.
yeah, well, usually when we get we're tasting 12 to 15 to 16%, this is 10. We can indulge just a touch more.
We have more bottles to open, though.
Details, details.
Womp, womp.
Womp, womp, womp. Don't be a spoil sport now.
But yeah, scale of 1 to 10, buddy.
This one, I will give this a solid 6.5, 7.
Yeah, I think this is.
This is, I like this much better simply because it says on the bottle, subtle, satisfying, and sublime. And I completely agree with that.
If I gave Chaucer's a 6.5, This is a 7.5.
Yeah.
Maybe even an 8 on the right day.
Yeah.
Again, hot summer day with some grilled food. Hey.
Oh yeah, easy.
Yeah,
Easy. I
this
mean,
would fit that mood.
I could drink this mead with a salad and not be unhappy about it.
You're right.
It's that nice. I mean, just a few grilled vegetables or a salad, I'm still good on this.
Yeah.
That's a good mead. Well, we've established the hierarchy from Chaucer to this one now.
So I think we're going to place the Oliver's Camelot mead a little higher than Chaucer's.
But that I like the fact they've used the word sublime on their bottle, and I agree with them on that. I'm not going to say that's a fault. That's not false advertising. It is very sublime.
We have this other one. This is Honeywood Mead from Oregon.
Now, I've seen this in a couple of places,
Right. This is not an every liquor store kind of thing like Chaucer's or maybe
but
Oliver.
I'll be honest, none of the meads we're going to talk about are ever going to be at every place
Right.
because.
But this is the stuff you're were most likely to find, the stuff that the mead naive would pick up at their local liquor store and go, "Oh, do I like mead? Let's see."
So,
But this is a traditional wine made from honey, 10% alcohol. So this is very much in the lane of, we have a, oh,
it's got a bit of fizz in there.
is that intentional or is that a problem? We will see. But there is a little bit of a,
Got some bubbles.
yeah, a little bit of,
It is actually actively bubbling.
and that might be pleasant and that might be a problem. But I think it is intentional because this is a screw top bottle.
It
And
is.
all of these have been screw top
Yeah,
bottles so
everyone
far.
so far has been screwed up.
This is again, this is between white and straw, very light straw.
This is
I would say
almost exactly like
the Oliver,
the Oliver Mead
I
in
would say
color.
this is white, honey white.
Its problem is that I can't see as clearly because there's bubbles. You smell the fermentation.
This smells young.
Agreed.
Yeah, it smells like yeast. Not, it has a that raw yeast character, and again, part of me is wondering if this was intended to be sparkling or if this is the.
Okay, if those of you who listened to our sparkling mead episode, we talked about carbonating mead. Two ways to do it is you add carbon CO2. The other way is you leave a little yeast and honey, yeast and sugar in there to make carbonation. So this could be either way.
Now, this has been sitting on a liquor store shelf. There is a little bit of,
Detritus in the bottom.
yeah. Just the tiniest little bit of detritus, not enough even for bottle conditioning, I would think, though I'm far from an expert on that case. I would like to think this is intended to be sparkling, but I'm not sure. But it definitely smells, all I'm getting is young. You know, like this is when you open the bottle or the top of your carboy or your fermenter to move from primary to secondary, this is that smell.
Yeah,
It's
I jumped the gun and I tasted it while Jeff was talking right there. I think it's on purpose
okay.
because it didn't subtract from the flavor they gave. It was a positive component in my in for the way I tasted it. If it was accidental, there's a more than even chance it would be, oh, this is not what I wanted for this. But this one, it's actually it's good. The very light, petulant bubble they have here is it's not detracting. It is surprising. It is not as light as the Oliver.
No, even with the
Even
carbonation.
with the carbonation, it's not as light as the Oliver.
And it does have the honey flavor is more pronounced.
Which I kind of like. I'm not going to argue that. I think I'd have to get another bottle to be sure, but I think it's supposed to be petulant or lightly bubbly.
I would suggest getting a different bottle from a different store so you're making sure you don't have, because if this is all the same batch, all of the bottles on their shelf are probably doing the same thing. And realistically, with these the screw top packaging, they are fairly safe because I want to believe this is the same kind of a an oxygen barrier we would get on a bottle cap, right?
If it wasn't, I'd be shocked. Now, the good news about that is if you have a screw top with a good seal on it, as long as your bottle is less than half empty, it can store like a pretty much
Excuse
regular
me.
bottle without much of a problem. If it's more half empty or more, you want to get it drunk quickly because you have too much oxygen in there. I learned that from bartending training.
And I believe the same rule applies for white wines in general, or moderately alcoholic, lighter bodied things. Generally, if you've got a heavier bodied mead, you can store it a little longer open, but you want to take that.
You don't want it to be sitting with oxygen too long.
Correct.
Now, I will not say the Honeywood is bad at any stretch. I'm gonna get a little bit more. Yeah, that was pleasant enough. I went through it.
Don't cap that too quick. I need a little bit more for this evaluation.
All right. This is a tough job, guys. I'm glad we can do this for you. But honestly, it's okay. The bubbles we have in this, and they have not gone away, are they in my opinion, they add to the flavor and experience of tasting this.
They make it more pleasant than it would be if it was still.
Yes.
But I think, honestly, this is a little sweeter than I would prefer, too.
This is, for a 10%, this is a little sweet. But I like sweet, so that's not off-putting to me.
And I think for a commercial product, in that whole, I'm naive to mead, I would like a wine made from honey. When you pick something up, you expect it to be sweet.
Yeah.
The
Oliver is not that sweet.
No, I think that might be off-putting to somebody if this was their first mead. A little bit.
Just a little bit. But both the Chaucer's and the Honeywood, they're actually sweet. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's why that's one of the many reasons I like mead. You know, when I'm working with honey, I would like it to be sweet because honey is sweet, and I expect that.
That expectation is a factor.
Real. Yeah.
It's real.
So, but yeah. As far as, how would you rate this one, Jeff? I mean, I got my rating in my head.
Honestly, if I'm calling Chaucer's a 6.5 and Oliver a 7.5, I'm calling this a 5.
I was calling this a 5.5. Five and a half. I really was.
The carbonation helps.
But it's still, even with the carbonation, it's a little heavier than the Oliver. Actually, it's a lot heavier than the Oliver.
It's a lot heavier than the Oliver. It's a little, it's in the range of Chaucer's, and if it was flat, it would be heavier than Chaucer's.
Yeah.
The carbonation helps, but, I mean, it tastes and smells young. The sweetness level, I feel like, is a little bit of a cheat. And this is an opinion. I'm not saying that this is absolutely what they're doing, but let's throw a little extra honey on top of this and cover up the fact that we just kind of let this go and weren't paying attention.
Okay, well, in my opinion, I like the sweetness. That's not off-putting to me at all. However, even though it's lighter and less honey flavor, any one of these three would be good for a first-time mead person goes, even if they didn't like it per se, they would say, okay, I can see where it could go. It's a good, they're good, neutral enough,
right,
to say, I'm willing to try something else.
Yeah, this wouldn't turn somebody off of mead necessarily.
Yeah.
Of the three of them, I'm ranking this one behind Chaucer. I don't know that I would serve a mead naive person this if I had other options.
Simply because of the flavor of aging. It's not there.
Yeah, it's...
There's no oak in there. There's not a bit of oak in there.
It's the yeasty kind of young character of this, mm-hmm, that is... It's not right. It could be better.
It's not balanced like what we would normally attribute to a well-balanced meat. The other two are. In their own right, they are balanced better, but this one is not.
That said, I do like the fact that it's sparkling. If it was intentionally sparkling... Cross to them, because I want more sparkling meat on the market. I enjoy a sparkling meat sometimes. Not all the time, sometimes.
I don't mind a sparkling meat as long as I like the meat. I'm really, really tight about that. If you give me a sparkling meat that's not good, it's still not a good meat.
Yeah.
Even a sparkling. You know, but I'm a very narrow band of tolerance there.
I'm still a snob, too. If you give me a shitty sparkling meat, it's still a shitty meat, whether it's sparkling or still.
Yeah, but... This, Oliver's my number one choice for a starter, somebody to start your mead with. Not Chaucer's. Oliver's number one. Chaucer's number two. So far, the Honeywood is number three.
I think so.
Because that's just, it's just what it is. Now,
we've got something a little different next.
And the problem is with this one, I don't think they have a traditional mead on this, from this company. So we had to get something that's not any of it.
Well, when I was doing the shopping, I grabbed the one that I see the most often at different liquor stores. You said, I see four different varieties. I'm getting all four.
Yeah, and I did. And I wanted to give this a fair...
Love you, brother.
They got four. Well, doggone, all four ended up in my basket. Let's run with this.
And I know the apple one has hops in it. You should try the apple one and give most of it to your wife. But I think you're going to enjoy it.
I'm not afraid to try it. I just can't drink a lot of it.
Exactly.
My allergy is not going to hurt me.
You've
It's
got
just
to
going to make me a lot more fun.
rinse in your glass.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate that. It also rinses my mouth, which is an excellent thing. Now, what we have here is called Dansk Mjød,
Dansk
and it's called Viking Blood. This is a they leaned into the Viking thing,
Mjød.
and this one's called Viking Blood. It's made with honey wine with dried hibiscus and ginger.
Now, I don't remember. I've had this before a long time ago. I don't remember if this is more like a Polish style or if this is more, we're getting a mead that just happens to have some hibiscus and ginger in it. Is this
Now,
going to be like the long aged kind of a little bit oxidized, or is this, well, from
it's not as deep red as I thought it'd be,
no, and it's not clear either, which is interesting.
which is kind of a surprise to me because I figured any commercial would be very clear, and this one it's not. Now, on the other note of this one's actually a 19% mead.
Yeah, this is a not effing around
Yeah, this
strength.
is if it's good, I'm going to be messed up after a glass or two. Or if it's bad, you've just saved yourself a lot of trouble. But it says on the bottle, based on a recipe from about the year 1700. This is an old recipe, which is probably why the other ones have hops, because a lot of the old recipes do have hops.
I mean, it is a preservative factor, yes, that this is known. Color wise, it's almost like the very ripe part of a peach pink. The peach skin, not the flesh. And there is some oxidization on it, but it's not terribly pronounced.
And this is a brand new bottle. Oh, there's an illustration here on the
And
exchange.
I feel like I get the ginger more than the hibiscus, although from the color, that's not surprising.
Yeah, I got ginger. Oh man, right up the nose.
How so, sinuses, buddy?
I got new ones. Hey, this is good. Oh, but I quickly read the bottle when Jeff was talking there, and it says approximately based on a recipe from about year 1700. The ingredients are pure and 100% natural, and this is back from a time when it was night life was lived on nature's terms. But it also says in addition to the color, it adds a spicy, aromatic, and floral taste due to the hibiscus and the ginger. So, oh, that's a thick mead.
It is. And there is oxidization on the palate too. The ginger is very strong in this.
I'm not mad about that. I like ginger, but it is overwhelmingly strong.
It is powerful. The hibiscus is pretty light, if anything. I might get that around the edges. And it's, for all the power of this, it's pretty sweet as well.
It's very sweet. This is almost too sweet for me, I'll be honest. I don't know if that's the alcohol content or the sweetness. It's very sweet. And honestly, it moves like a light syrup a little bit.
You know what this reminds me of? Some people might hate me for this comment. This reminds me of cough syrup.
I'm not going to say you're wrong. The Viking blood is it bad? No, but it has the reminiscence of cough syrup, and I would not recommend giving this to a new person.
Right. This is not the mead naive person's first taste of mead. Is it bad?
Really?
It's not to my taste, but it could, you could call it good. I could see people enjoying
I could
this.
see people enjoy it. I could enjoy this. I mean, honestly, I would like to try this chilled and warmed to see.
Chilled and warmed?
Yeah, chilled at one point and another glass
I
warmed.
see what you're saying. Okay.
I would like to try both chilled and warmed separately because I don't think this is supposed to be a room temperature mead.
Maybe not.
Because the way it smells and the way it's coming across my palate right now, it acts like it wants to be some other temperature to me.
That's fair, and I think this might be more pleasant if it was chilled. That would probably tone down some of the oxidized character to it, and it might be a little cloying at that level to me, though.
I will tell you, I took a nice solid slug of that just now, and it ran right up my sinuses from mouth.
Ooh.
And it's this is a Viking mead because it's trying to fight me. Is it bad? No, I would drink this. I would like to see if I could make it a little more pleasant just by temperature.
Fair, fair.
But other than that, is it bad? No, I would drink this. But I'm gonna give it a four. Just
Yeah.
because it's a hard, it's not a pleasant drink. It's a I want to drink.
This is a four on my scale too, to be honest. This is a manly consumption
This
for
is a
me.
manly consumption.
I did not wake up ready for the ensuing struggle.
Oh no, I This is bottled for a fight, not for a pleasant evening. But that being said, is it bad? No, it just is not what I drink mead for the most part. Just to give you an idea, Jefferson brought down a water bottle with chilled water so we can rinse our glasses out, and by extension, rinse our mouth out after each bottle. We did not do it between Chaucer. We did not do it after
Yes,
the
we did.
Oliver. We didn't rinse it.
I did.
Did not.
Oh.
But it didn't matter because it was such a light flavor. The next one was not affected.
Fair. I mean, I'm after that one, I kind of want to revisit the Oliver.
Yeah, but so this one, I would not recommend Viking Blood for a first timer.
No.
If
It's
Jeff and I ever take this to warming it up and then chilling it out in a separate test, we'll let you know.
I mean, this is my bottle. If it stays with me, I might toss it in the fridge and then try it tonight after dinner and the kid goes to bed.
That being said, now in that you mentioned that I should try the apple. I don't think I have the apple here. This is not apple.
This is
Club Joster
Club
Mjolj.
Kloppoester? I Kloppoester Mjolt. I don't know how to pronounce the O with a strike through
Yeah.
it. Um,
But
based on a
this.
recipe from about the year 1700 as well. Nordic caraway honey wine with natural flavor added.
I don't know what natural flavor is in this case, but here we go. It's this is a caraway.
And I believe this is also 19%, yeah?
No, it's not. 21.8.
Jeebus.
I'm sorry I took those extra glasses earlier.
Saints preserve us here.
Oh my gosh, 21.8%. This, I'm gonna short our glasses on this one, man.
Good plan. Good plan.
This is.
Let's be a little reasonable here, because I don't mind you sitting out on the back porch with me watching the chickens run around after our show, so we can sober up a little bit. But
Holy, I gotta go home at some point.
yeah,
I
no,
mean, I
no.
love you, brother, but I want to camp out with my wife. Holy cow.
The couch is always here if you need it, but I understand you want to sleep in your own bed. I totally understand.
Oh.
So let's see what the back of this booger has to say.
Now, this is also one of those light straws, not unlike the Oliver or the Honeywood. It's
Yeah,
very
this
light.
is.
It's got a little bit cloudy,
Yeah, it is.
like the last one was for Viking Blood.
It's not as opaque. It has a level of haze to it, but it's. You can kind of see through it.
Okay, going in. Oh, this has the off esters. Oh my gosh. Oh, it's those esters are strong in there. How about you smell it?
I don't know if that's esters or if that's. Is that fermented hot or is that caraway?
That could be spinach hot. I didn't think about that. It's not caraway, I don't think. I don't know for sure, but I've never worked with caraway either, so.
I mean, it is the hot ferment kind of esters feel to it on my sinuses, the scent glands in my nose, you know? Like they have that tingle of you get from some of those higher alcohols that you get out of a hot ferment.
Yeah, being 21 point whatever percent, this is
Now,
21.8%. This is, yeah, this is hot.
was this a hot ferment or was this a did they fortify this later?
It
That's
does did it say fortify when you read it?
I didn't get a chance to read it. I was busy bullshitting with you. World's oldest fermented beverage made from honey has been popular drink from the Europe to Australia, dating back long before the Viking times. One of the earliest references to fermented honey can be found in Hindu of India's holy books, the Veda books, which date back 4,000 years, possibly even earlier than that. Oldest known recipe for mead has been written down in Nordic countries was 1520 by the Archbishop Olaus Magnus. Our products are based on a recipe from about year 1700, and the ingredients are pure, 100% natural, guaranteed to be free of additives of any kind. Honey is the major. Yeah, they don't tell us anything specific about this that it sounds like was any different than the one back of the Viking blood.
To for a 21%, I don't know what yeast they use unless they made it hot. That's the only thing I can think of to give me an alcohol content of 21.8.
Even hot fermenting like a champagne yeast, you're stretching at that point.
Yeah, I
I
mean
think this has got to be fortified.
if it's not, I'm impressed because I mean the most I've ever seen come out of a yeast is 18.
Serving suggestions: serve slightly chilled as an aperitif, at room temperature as an excellent dessert, or warm as a mulled honey wine.
It does, the other bottle says slightly served chilled as an aperitif as well, so maybe it should be chilled.
Well,
But
it
here we go.
says it's a dessert at room temperature, so We're drinking room temperature.
Okay, let it
That
breathe for a
is,
while. It's gotten better.
disagree.
Okay.
I don't like that.
Oh no, I was wrong. I had more. I didn't put my nose close enough. But oh my God, that is.
Yeah,
It's still there.
that feels like a hot ferment.
Oh God, nope. Sorry, nope. I can't. Nope.
Doesn't taste as bad as it smells.
That tastes as bad as it smells. I mean, if you like a mead that you want to fight to get down, go for it. I cannot, in good conscience, give this a good review.
I like this more than I like the Viking, but not a lot more. I find it a little bit more palatable. It's still not good.
It's no, I actually like the Viking blood just a little bit more. It only wanted to fight me, it didn't really try to kill me.
This lingers on the tongue in the worst ways.
Yes, it does. Oh my gosh.
The it has this has definitely been fermented hot, or just they didn't give a crap and let the heavy esters. There's definitely heavy alcohols in this in addition to the ethyl. And they kind of linger and burn on the tongue after you're done.
Okay, the second taste was no better than the first. I keep thinking back to the
Caraway honey.
caraway honey. I mean, I like caraway as far as I know, but I've never made it into a drink.
I mean, I can't say I've had it on much of anything other than like the top of, baked goods,
Yeah,
but
me either. But oh no, this is, I don't like this. I don't like this. Okay, guys, if you want to
I'm
try
not
this for
buying this
to a
for
new
myself.
mead maker, a new mead trier, new mead taster, don't.
Yeah,
Just
no.
don't. Oh God. Will I say it's horrible mead? No, it's not horrible mead. But this one is, it assaults my sinuses before it assaults my tongue type of mead. The other one, at least it wasn't pleasant to my sinuses, but it didn't attack my sinuses directly, just my tongue.
I'm surprised this is commercially available because I don't like this.
I don't like this.
I think if I were proctoring a BJCP mead exam and needed to give somebody an example of a hot ferment, I would just get a bottle of this. I am not impressed.
Oh, I don't like this. I mean, I like spiced meats. I really do, but I don't like this one. Two?
This isn't spiced though. This is natural flavors,
Oh my
and
God. It's
I.
just caraway honey.
Yeah.
And, oh my gosh.
Caraway honey and natural flavors.
No.
I.
Well, okay. Poop is a natural flavor. Doesn't mean I want to drink it. I'm
This
sorry.
is our opinion.
This is our opinion.
You can't sue us over opinions on a podcast
But oh my gosh.
corporations.
But this is I don't want a second glass of that.
No.
I wish I could give back the first. I'm hoping I don't.
I mean, you can leave it here and
Don't want to abuse my wife.
I'll figure something out.
You know, honestly, if you took like a gamey meat, like venison or something, and made a spice, add spices in this for a marinade, it might be okay, but it'd have to be pretty gamey.
I mean, I could see that. I've had some wild boar stew that was this good.
Yeah. All right. Jeff just nodded me. I grabbed the Oliver
Prosim.
to kind of clear our palate from that because, oh my God, I don't like that. You know, this is likely the worst review I've given of a mead ever, but it's just that mead's tougher than me. I've never said I was tough, but oh my gosh.
So I think that one goes at the back of the list. Even though I enjoyed it more than the Viking Blood, if I were to rank these as far as like mead naive person tasting them, the Viking Blood would be better to try than that one.
Than that one, yeah.
That is just harsh.
It's harsh.
And I don't understand why.
That's the rye whiskey of mead. It's just harsh.
So back in 2020, my wife got really into sea shanties, and she's kind of progressed from there to a bunch of like, Irish folk and stuff that is a little more old-timey, but still in that whole realm. And there is a song on her playlist that's like, rye whiskey, rye whiskey, rye whiskey. Like, it's about rye whiskey and how much they love rye whiskey. And anytime I hear that on her playlist, I'm like, have they tried rye whiskey? It's.
My wife loves rye whiskey. Give her a solid rye whiskey and she is a happy girl. However, last time I tried a rye whiskey, she thought it was really good. I thought I was trying to eat my face from the inside. It's harsh.
Rye in general in a drinking context, I don't get it. Like I early in my brewing career, I found a Facebook group that was looking at saison beer recipes. Like if locally, Boulevard does their Tank 7 is a saison style. It's fermented hot, so it gets some weird baking spice notes to it. Otherwise, it's more of a traditional farmhouse style beer. And they were trying to replicate some kind of a French saison style or saison brand with this recipe in this Facebook group, and they sent it out looking for people to trial it. And the grain bill included 25% rye, and I was like, okay, I'm naive and stupid. Let me do this, and so I made a 5 gallon batch of it, and then I bottled it and I drank it, and I went, I've got 5 gallons of this.
Yeah, I get it. I get it. I mean, if you like really strong fight in the mouth meat drinks, like Everclear and Jägermeister, and you might like this. You might like the Viking dance emoji. But I'm not among them.
I haven't bought this brand much. I've had this at parties and tasted it a time or two, but I've not been particularly interested in picking it up, and I'm beginning to remember why.
Yeah, I know exactly. I've seen this many times, and actually, I have a couple people I know who drink. Oh, this is really good. I'm glad you like it. You might like this, guys. If out there, some of you guys might like this. I'm not among you. We can still be friends. I'm just not. Oh, my stomach's upset.
This, if you were naive to mead and you tried this as mead for the first time, I think you would swear off mead.
And that's not what we want. So.
And God, the because it's so weirdly different
It is very
that
weird.
all of these are the rest of these are a little bit off of their baseline meats, but the Dansk Mjød is. The two that we've had have been so different from what we would consider like a baseline or even a starting point that it's hard to enjoy them.
I mean, if I ever get anywhere else, the sour apple one, or if I got it, I'll give it a try. I swear I will. Oh my goodness, based on these two, it's gonna be a tough jar.
My brother-in-law brought that to a Christmas party at one point, and I remember enjoying it for what it was, but I also had probably the amount that we tasted today out of it by the time it was gone, because it got passed around a little bit before I got to it.
Okay, fair.
So, Chris,
Yeah,
you brought one more, and
I
this
did.
is not nationwide.
It's not each way, it's Pearl, and it's local from Weston, Missouri. But they have made a solid mead for a number of years. The Kansas City Renaissance Festival, actually, this is their mead
Yes, this is
now.
their mead now. And, I know other local mead guys that have talked to the owner of this company and kind of like got his process. And it's not a dumb process at all. Because when he goes to do primary fermentation, Pirtle has, if I remember correctly, four different varieties of mead.
I know of three. I know of the traditional, the raspberry, and the blackberry.
At Christmas time, they also do a sparkling.
Okay, I didn't know about
It's a traditional, but it's sparkling.
that.
The ones that are available year round are the traditional, the raspberry, the blackberry. When he does primary on his meads, he does one primary. To make the raspberry and the blackberry, he adds juice in secondary.
We've talked about having secondary versus primary, so yeah.
When he makes a carbonated, he takes the traditional and carbonates it. And then sells it in a champagne bottle that can handle the carbonation, which is the other concern I have for the Oregon, because this is a standard,
Still
right?
bottle, yeah. You're playing with fire, guys. Hope it never doesn't bite you, but I got the blackberry meat because that was one available at the wine store at this point.
And honestly, of the three of them available year round and the four available anytime during the year, I think blackberry's the win.
Yeah, I mean,
It is so good.
it is so good. I mean, I am a huge blackberry fan. My personal signature meat is blackberry vanilla. What I personally make myself is a blackberry vanilla. I love blackberry. So, this wasn't a hard sell for me. We got the fruit.
And as far as the look goes, it's like garnet red colored,
And you can't see through
clear.
it.
Oh, I can, if you hold it up to the light, you can see through it.
You can see light through it, kind of.
It's dark.
Like you would expect.
Yeah, you can kind of see through it. Yeah, you're right. But you get that blackberry real quick.
The blackberry is strong on the nose. It might have a little bit of esters, but it's a pretty clean ferment.
Yeah.
From the nose. I don't get a lot of honey behind the blackberry. The blackberry is way stronger than the honey.
I'm not getting really any ester. Even when I swirl, I'm not getting a lot of ester. If it's there, it's really light.
Yeah, I'm not getting any off flavors, but the blubba, that blackberry flavor, that blackberry aroma, I should say, is pretty pronounced.
Which, you know, that's good with me, because like I said, like a little blackberry.
And I would call this more of an off-dry than a semi-sweet.
Yeah, it is an off-dry. I agree, completely.
It is very pleasant to me, though. It's the blackberry is there. It's prominent.
Mm-hmm.
It's a clean ferment. And
this, and it says on the bottle, 80% honey, 20% blackberry wine.
I mean, that tracks. If you just put blackberry juice into a basically primaried mead to make a finished product, yeah, that makes sense.
It's also 12%. So this is a very drinkable dinner, picnic, whatever wine. But it's a standard, not a sack, but it's good. And, okay, I'll be honest, Pirtle.
They don't give a lot of details, but at one point, apparently, it's won the gold at Mazer Cup. So
there you go. It's good. I mean, honestly, I think the stuff that Jeff and I make, I enjoy more.
Yes. To what extent that is just the fact that we made this, and this is, you know,
personal pride.
Yeah. But honestly, if I'm going to a party and I want to bring mead and I don't have a mead of my own that I am comfortable, like, giving to this Saturday, my buddy Chris... Other buddy Chris.
Other buddy Chris.
Chris is a very common name.
Yeah, he is, man.
So is Jeff.
My first name is John. I mean, come on. I've been dealing with this my entire life.
Truth. My other buddy Chris is turning 40 and he's having a birthday party. If I was going to Chris's birthday party, there are a lot of people that he floats in a few different social circles like I do.
Mm-hmm.
And I've met a few of them a few different times, but like I don't know half the people at the party very well, but I'm acquainted with them. They don't know that I'm Jeff, the Mead podcast host. They just know that I'm Jeff.
Yeah.
The guy that shows up at some of Chris's parties. And if I'm going to bring a bottle of something, it's got to be approachable for the mass audience, right?
Yeah. And this is approachable. It's good.
If I don't have some of my own stuff, Pirtle is an easy grab.
Yeah.
The blackberry is a 100% every time I see it, I will grab that.
This or the raspberry. Quick right. Grabs for me.
The blackberry is ranked a little higher than raspberry.
Agreed. 100%.
But only a little higher.
I mean, it's a solid, solid mead, and it's very consistent.
Yes.
Of the four meads we recommend for newbies in the mead world, this is among them. This is number four.
If you got Pirtle anywhere in your area, do you know where my wife and I went for our 1 year anniversary celebration?
No, I'm assuming it's Weston.
Weston, Missouri.
Weston, Missouri.
It's like 45 minutes north of Kansas City.
Yeah. And it's a magnificent place.
The tourist philosophy for Weston, Missouri seems to be getting middle-aged people drunk.
It works.
The town is full of bed and breakfasts. There's a brewery. There is a distillery. There are two or three wineries in addition to a... They don't make their own wine there, but they are a wine, like, cellar recommender kind of a establishment. Mm-hmm. All of them will give you alcohol. And there are other stores on this, like, strip in this, like, downtown area that just give you alcohol. Like, I think it's like a... I can't remember if it's Irish or Celtic specific or broadly Celtic.
Celtic.
Or... Celtic. Thank you.
Celtic's the basketball team.
You're right. You're right.
Okay.
I can't remember if it's like broadly Celtic or if it's a specific branch of the Celtic sphere, but they have it's like a gift shop with all these things crafted in different places. But the back room has, and I want to say it is broadly Celtic because they have, when we were there, it was in, you know, end of October, early November. And they had not a hard cider, a soft cider, that they spiked with Irish whiskey.
Ooh, that sounds good.
That they were just giving out for free.
Ooh.
But the point of it was to get you to the back room so that you could see that they also do the like Irish whiskey and Scotch tastings and stuff like that, and let you buy some Scotch.
Does it work?
Yes.
Yes. Okay, guys, if you've never been to Western Missouri, it's phenomenal. I highly recommend that as a destination location. I really, really, Western Missouri is a brilliantly charming, wonderful destination to go to for the wineries, the food, the just the atmosphere.
They have a bunch of cool little cute festivals and stuff.
Yeah, but I kid you not, guys, if you're gonna go at Christmas time. Oh my God, this is so Christmas there. It's so wonderful. It's so, oh my gosh, wonderful.
Counterpoint,
Yeah.
Falstuff is also really awesome. They have like an apple butter or something like that
Yeah.
festival
Oh
every
yeah.
year.
The apple butter
But
roast. Yeah, I forgot about that.
it is just like it's you get that fall and you might as well be mainlining it. You get so much fall stuff.
And guys, when we post this episode, I really won't want to put a tag for Western Missouri here because, honest God, if you go to Western Missouri, you'll be saying, why haven't I known about this before if you've never heard of it?
Honestly, Western Missouri should send us a C note or something. I'm
Yeah.
sure with our few hundred weekly listeners, like maybe somebody's going to go, hey, that's only a few hours from me. I could spend a weekend there and
If it's a plane ride away, it's worth the trip, guys. I kid you not. It's a wonderful place to go.
it's beautiful. It's a nice hilly area. It's right like on the Missouri River and it's just a gorgeous little
I
town.
swear, you're going to drive up to this place going, where am I going? Is this, should I be hearing banjos? You're going to be kind of, what? There's nothing here that's worth my time until you get to Weston. And then, yeah, this is what I came for. This is a really good place.
It's almost like within a state park, as far as the area goes, but you can also get out towards the highway and there are some like little farm crafty areas that have like one of the wineries is out like off of the big. They have a lot of fun stuff.
Yeah, it's I'm gonna tell you this should be a destination for you at some point in your life. Put it on your bucket list. It's really cool.
If you're anywhere near the Midwest,
Yeah,
it's an
it's
easy long weekend kind of a situation. Just get a bed and breakfast, stumble around the downtown, crash out, and say you had a good time.
Yeah. Now, rating on your 1 to 10 scale, you're rating Blackberry Mead from Weston, the Bertle Mead.
I might need to try a little.
Okay, well, I don't want my friend to drink alone, so here you go. This is I'm rating this. This is easily a 7 for me, if not an 8, because I really like Weston.
This is an 8, maybe an 8.3 or an 8.5. It's a strong 8, is what I'm saying.
I love Weston. I love the Pirtle Meads. I love Weston area. I'm a little biased, I grant you. I just did a commercial for them.
Have you gone to the Pirtle Winery, though, for the tasting?
Yes, I have gone to the Pirtle Wine. I have tried their apple pie.
I don't know if it was the same every weekend as the weekend we were there for our 1 year anniversary. We saddled up to the table for the winery. They gave us a list of the 14 wines that they had available to try, and were basically like, you want to start at the top?
The answer you should do, say if you're there is
And
yes.
they didn't charge for the tastings either. Some of these places are like one of the wineries that is kind of over closer to the highway. They have like 10 wines that are available. You can try five for $7, which is not very much
No, that's cheap.
for, what essentially like they're pouring 2 to 3 ounces per pour on a tasting. It's kind of
That's not a deal, that's a steal.
if a regular glass of wine is 5 ounces
They're giving you two
for
to taste.
$7, and I
Not
think,
five of them for $7.
and you get to keep the glass.
Yeah.
It's a cute little glass. We've got two or three of them in my pantry.
But I know this quickly became a commercial for Weston, Missouri. There's a reason.
They need to send us a C note.
Yeah, they
I
need
like it.
to see it. If they did, I wouldn't be mad.
But yeah, no,
If they didn't, I'm still not going to be mad.
but yeah, Pirtle didn't charge us anything. They're just like, where do you want to start?
Yeah, and it's a wonderful place to go. Now, so I'm giving this is probably my highest. If you're a brand new mead taster and want to know if you like mead, yeah, Pirtle's right up there, man. Pearl's right up there. It's probably number one on my list.
If you can find Pirtle local to you and you want to confirm that you like mead, there you go.
There you go. Now, number two would probably be the Oliver.
Yeah, Oliver is a solid choice. And I think if it were the dead of winter it might not be as enjoyable.
No, I agreed. Agreed. If it was the dead of winter, my number two would be Chaucer's.
I would say Chaucer's, yeah, strong third.
Yeah.
And then this Honeywood from Oregon, it's there.
It's there. I mean, I'm not mad at it,
It's a fallback, but it's a
but
fallback.
it's a fallback. I'm not mad at it, but I wish you were a little bit less nose offensive. How about that?
Yeah, I want this to be a little bit better managed ferment.
And honestly, again, this is our
I don't
opinion.
know if this is a fast turnaround kind of a situation, or if this is a hey, we're a winery that also makes mead, but we're gonna do this the way we do this, and it's not.
But I'll be honest with you guys, my head's a little bit swimming right now.
We have drank
Five, six difference.
meads in small amounts, but some of those were not small meads.
Yeah, the which one was it? The green bottle?
Yeah, the cloister.
Cloister mead from the one I really didn't like. I mean, I'll be
The
honest.
yeah.
It's the
Dansk Mjølk.
Dansk Mjølk. I didn't like it, but it was also 21.8% mead, and it's kind of hurt me, guys.
Yeah,
So I'm
it's
going
a
to call this a day here, guys. Happy meeting. I really appreciate joining it, join us and tuning in. But I'm not driving home soon, Jeff. I'm going to be petting your chickens for a while.
Yeah, we're gonna go have a relaxing little time watching chickens and dogs run around, I think, for a bit, because
Yeah.
OMG.
OMG. Okay, guys. If you're going to introduce somebody to mead, Oliver, Chaucer, Honeywood, all good choices in pretty much
In
in that
that
order.
order, yeah,
Yeah, pretty
yeah,
much in that order.
yeah.
But or even Pearl.
If you can find local options tend to be a little bit better, I think. Pearl is a kind of proof of concept of that
Yeah,
choice for us.
guys, microbrew beers tend to be better than national brewed beers. Micro-brewed meads, micro-fermented meads, tend to be better than national meads.
But you got to give them props for the consistency.
Yeah, but you got any problems for consistency. But so, if you're going to do this, do a speed run. I'm tasting these things. What do they think they look like? Do that. So, guys.
Honestly, if you're going to introduce somebody to mead and you're going to give them something from Dansk Mjølk, I think you owe them also a bottle of Oliver or Chaucer's.
Yeah, well,
So you could say,
at least a meal.
the thing that I love about mead is that there is so much that it can be. And
Yeah.
if you're going to hit somebody with something a little bit harsh, you should also show them something pretty light and easy.
Yeah. And meat goes the gamut, guys. Guys, happy meeting. Have a great day. Take care, Jeff.
Cheers.
Thanks for having me over.
Well. Yeah.